Good morning and welcome to God's Point of View, a weekly Bible-based discussion on matters of faith and everyday living. God's Point of View is made possible every Thursday at this time by the Highland Church of Christ, 821 Euclid Avenue in Paintsville. And now your co-host for God's Point of View, Tim Collins and Jerry Scott.
You place your hand on his Bible, and when you swear to tell the truth, his name is on our greatest monuments, all our money too. And when we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt of where we stand. There's no separation, we're one nation under him. In God we still trust. Here in America, he's the one we turn to. Every time the going gets rough, he is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us. Here in America, in God we
Good morning, everyone, and welcome in to God's Point of View, presented by the Highland Church of Christ, located at 821 Euclid Avenue here in Paintsville. This is a program that is paid for by the church, therefore the opinions of myself or Mr. Jerry Scott are not necessarily those of WSIP Radio or Fortin Broadcasting, but they are, however, our opinions as we interpret it from the Holy Scripture.
Amen, 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 and amen. You know, the psalmist oftentimes will say, amen and amen. And so we need to be affirmative and positive. The world is negative. The world is always going to be negative.
Yeah.
We're told in the Bible, Timotheus, you might check this sometime, it'll help you. As Bill Monroe said to Elvis Presley one time. Yeah, when Elvis came to him and said, Mr. Monroe, I sure would like to record your Blue Moon over Kentucky. And Bill Monroe said, if it'll help you, son, go ahead. It must have helped him.
It must have.
1 John 5 says, love not the world. Yeah. Neither the things that are in the world.
Yeah.
All that's in the world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Let me pause there before we give a telephone number and an email address to Timotheus, because I know you're itching to do that as a radio guy. Every sin you could ever commit falls into one of those three categories.
Yeah.
Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of them. He says, these are not of the Father. These sins are not, this is not of the Father. This is of the world, and the world passeth away. And the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Praise God. No matter how much we think that we are opposed, how much the world is against us, the world will pass away. Now, folks would want to call and talk about that. I think that's a pretty good, that's kind of like pouring gasoline in the carburetor, kind of giving it a start.
Yeah. Give it a little jump start.
Yeah,
you can call us if you would like to make a comment or any other comment or question.
Sure.
At 606-789-0318. That's 789-0318. That is why this program is here.
Absolutely.
And you can also email us at godspointofview at yahoo.com.
Yes.
Godspointofview at yahoo.com.
You know who I just reminded myself of? Those two black ladies that you see on television sometimes that were for Trump back during the election.
Okay.
And they're still for him, and you see him on the television sometimes on shows, and one of them does most of the talking, and the other one kind of in the background just kind of agreeing. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. right, that's right. I kind of reminded myself of that a minute ago. Anyway, let's check the old email.
That's a good idea.
Yeah,
that's always a good idea.
I think it's a good idea.
And what you were talking about earlier about you feel like you're alone in the things of the world, if ever a time, and we see it getting worse progressively,
yeah.
Christian people are, it's being turned more toward hatreds, we're bigots, we're this, we're that, we're unloving. And
I've seen Hostility.
I saw some video yesterday, some little clips of people saying, you know, that we need, that this is 2016, they said in the video clip, and it's, you know, it's time to love one another and accept one another, no matter who they love, and all these things, or their preferences is, and they get, and then I started thinking, the whole word of love is two different meanings of what
Absolutely.
They're saying and
Absolutely.
What we believe as Christians.
That's exactly right.
With the Lord. And you spoke about it some last night.
I did.
About loving people. You love your child, but you don't always let your child do whatever your child wants to do.
Of course not.
Or you
shouldn't. You shouldn't. Or you'll have a spoiled brat on your hands.
Yeah, you lose total control of everything.
Sure, sure. You got about 7 years, moms, dads. You got about 7 years. You know, the Catholic Church says, give us your child for 7 years.
Yeah.
We'll have him for the next 70.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you there's truth in that.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm not talking about Catholic doctrine. I'm not talking about style of teaching. I'm talking about what you get into a kid's heart early in life.
Yeah.
Is what sticks. Train up a child in the way he should go. And what in the world does that mean? And when he is old, he'll not turn or depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. The key word there in that verse is way. Listen, moms. Listen, dads. Way. It's a Hebrew word. The Hebrew word derek. D-E-R-E-K. And the word derek can be translated way. It's also translated bent.
Mm-hmm.
Bent. Know the bent of your child.
Yeah.
If you've got more than one kid, they're all different. One of them has a tendency to debate you. One has a tendency or a bent to lie to you. One has a bent or a tendency to be lustful. One has a tendency, it goes on and on and on, Timotheus.
Yeah.
And so the key word is bent, and train the child in the bent. In other words, recognize the bent early in life and then train that child to combat that bent by the word of God.
Yeah.
That's what it means.
Yeah. Or to turn that bent into a direction that would be helpful.
Absolutely.
If your child is always challenging you, you can teach them about respecting you, about respecting others, but you can also turn that into a great debate person, a person that has a great conviction for the Lord. Use that for his good.
Yeah.
You know, you can turn those things into good things.
I think certainly you can. The Bible is full of examples of that. Mm-hmm. And we know people. We've experienced it in life.
Yeah.
Where people have trained their children. They go astray when they grow up. Young adults, they come back to the Lord. And they're brokenhearted. They realize exactly what is right and what is wrong. Now, we got a couple of emails here, Timotheus. I don't have any calls right at the moment.
Well, we need to work on those emails.
Oh, yeah. So here's an email. First one I pulled up. Looks like we've got three, Timotheus.
Three?
Oh, yeah.
Boy, they're coming in by multiples.
Says, I just heard on a TV show that Revelations, and by the way, I'm not being critical now of the emailer, the querist.
Mm-hmm.
That means the person that's asking the question.
Yeah.
They have a query. I'm not being critical of you in any way. I don't know who you are. But the book is not pronounced Revelations.
Yeah.
It's one continual revelation.
Yeah.
It's a Latin phrase. Revelation means revelation or to reveal something, and re means to take away, means take off the mystery. In other words, reveal what it's really talking about.
Kind of take off the blindfold.
Get it off.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Anyway. Many things happen in that revelation.
Oh, yeah.
One
revelation.
Yeah, okay.
We can say it this way, Timotheus, if you'd like, make you feel better. Many revelations in the revelation.
Hey.
How's that?
No, maybe that's what the first bit.
Now, I'm not, somebody says, you're a nitpicker. Well, I am a nitpicker. But
they got to start taking new.
Yeah, and I don't mind to be picked back at. You pick at me.
Oh, I know. I tried all the time.
I know. Yeah. Revelation was not meant for the church, but for Israel.
Hmm.
Can you explain? Well, the church began on the day of Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that had to do with the promises of God in Israel and salvation now has been changed. Or I should say the church, Gentiles, has now been included. Now, it's true that for the first several years, the Jewish Christians didn't take the gospel to the Gentile world. God had to kind of give them a little nudge, you know. They stayed in Jerusalem until persecution came along. The Apostle Paul, then Saul of Tarsus, persecuted the church, driving them to strange cities, compelling them to blaspheme, stood there when they stoned Stephen to death. I could go on and on, but we're getting away from the question here. The church was full of Jews and Gentiles, and by the time John wrote Revelation, in about 96 A.D. or thereabouts, he's writing to all of the church.
Yeah.
And that the seven churches of Asia, certainly, there were Gentile churches there. By the way, Timotheus, only five of those seven, or only two of those seven were faithful. Five were unfaithful.
Mm.
Just kind of gives you maybe an idea of what's going on today. Anyway, it was meant for all, both Jew and Gentile, now all spiritual Israel. So the book of Revelation, the seven churches of Asia, the first three chapters is written to the church worldwide for all time.
And principles, all people,
yeah. There are principles in there that are just as applicable today as they were then. Mm-hmm. And so that's part one. Part two, by the way, you can't believe everything you see on television.
Yeah, yeah, be real careful.
Yeah.
Read
yeah.
your Bible.
Yep, and so, can't believe everything here on the radio, but we're hoping that you'll check us out and
read your Bible.
Yeah, read your Bible. You don't have to agree with everything we say.
Yeah.
That's not what we're saying, but we're trying our best to give you the truth of God.
Yeah.
Here's the part B of this question. Multi questions here, mm-hmm. Timothy, in this one question.
Okay.
We could say many revelations in this one revelation email. Anyway.
There you go.
He says, then I read that those who do not yet know God may cry out to him who often answers unbelievers' prayers. Well, let's try to dissect
this. Let's break that down a little bit.
Yeah. So then I read that, quote, this is in quotes now, those who do not yet know God may cry out to him who often answers unbelievers' prayers. Where was that read?
Yeah.
Where'd you read that?
Where'd the quote come from? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, God hears all prayers. He knows when you pray, he knows when you don't pray, he knows when you sin, he knows when you're trying to do what's right. But and he wants all men to pray. He wants all men. But he especially is addressing his epistles to the church and mm-hmm. instructing the church how they ought to conduct their lives. I've often said to Timotheus, you can get a man to pray, the meanest man in Paintsville, you can get him to, don't start pointing at anybody in here. Meanest
how about
man
if I point to myself?
Well, you could do that.
Okay.
Remember, if you point at me, you got three pointing back at you.
I understand.
So take the meanest man in Paintsville. If you can get him to pray, then you're on the road of getting him to the Lord.
Now, let's pause there just a second.
All right, brother.
We may have people listening that have done everything, and they say, you know, there is no way the Lord's going to save me. I've been such an awful person, and I am stuck. I mean, I'm just stuck. The Lord would never hear my prayer. I'm such a sinner.
Yeah.
Would that be a true statement?
That is not a true statement in that the Lord hears everything, knows everything, is all in all. Whether he would answer your prayer is a different story. Now, if you're praying for salvation, he'll bring a preacher to you.
Mm-hmm.
Acts chapter 8.
If he knows you need help.
Sure. Eunuch was reading the Bible, didn't understand what he was reading. He wanted to worship God, been to Jerusalem on his way back home, now to Ethiopia.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to understand the scripture, so Philip was called there by the Holy Spirit and said, do you understand what you read? The old blessed King James, understandest thou what thou readest? I've got enough King James in me to mow this from years ago. I can't get it out of me. Don't want to.
That's all right.
And so he says, how can I except some man should guide me?
Yeah.
So here's a man looking for salvation. Friend, listen to me. I don't care how mean you've been. I don't care where you've been, what you've done, how many times you've done it, who you've done it with, what you're planning right now. If you are genuinely, honestly seeking to change your life, God will bring people into your life that will help you. How shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? Romans chapter 10. How shall they believe without a preacher? How blessed are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace? Listen, God will provide a way for you, but you have to want it.
And may I interject, because I have experienced
this. I need to take a sip of coffee.
Go ahead, do that. I have experienced for the Lord to help me with things, and I had it in my mind, here's my mistake, I had it in my mind how I wanted it to go.
Yes, sir.
I wanted God to answer the prayer the way
sir.
I wanted
it. You knew how it should go.
And it didn't work out like I thought at all.
Yeah.
He answered the prayer, but he answered it his way.
His way.
So when we talk about giving it all to the Lord, you have to give it to him, let him do it his way, because his way is not our way.
Absolutely.
Anyway, go ahead.
You're absolutely right. Everything you just said was right. I don't know how you need me on this show. You could do the show by yourself.
No, we're
then, okay. Then I read, those who do not yet know God may cry out to him who often answers unbelievers' prayer. Oh, if he's going to answer them, often answers them, why not all the time? Often, what are the conditions that would cause him to often answer their prayer, but not all the time? And
there you go, being nitpicky again.
I'm nitpicking. words are signs of ideas, and they're important.
Yeah.
And so you have to dissect sentences sometimes to get to words. If God's going to answer them every once in a while, then he ought to answer them all the time. God is consistent. He's not confusing like we are. God,
well, maybe it's because some things that the prayer is asking for, God is in agreement. That's a good thing, but these things aren't. So
well,
is that, could that be?
Well, that could be true in the Christian's life.
Yeah. but not un.
We're sinners. Talking about unbelievers here.
Okay,
that's the
mm-hmm.
context.
Mm-hmm.
And so remember, you take the, you know what I'm going to say.
I know what you're going to say.
You take the text out of the context, and that leaves you with a
con.
That's all you got. So I don't believe that this is a biblical precedent for anyone to follow. Just live like they want to live, and then expect God to hear them when they pray.
There's a lot of that going on these days.
There's a lot of that going on, but this premise is wrong. And so, can God, if you get a man to pray, then you get him teachable. You get his heart broken.
Mm-hmm.
The sacrifices of God are a broken heart, contrite spirit. This is what God wants, so that he can teach people what they need to learn. Like the eunuch in Acts chapter 8.
Mm-hmm.
So, now we're told in a general sense that God hears prayers. He hears everything. He knows everything.
Yeah.
But he has a special ear, if you let me say it that way,
mm-hmm.
special attentiveness to his own children. When I say, my Father which art in heaven, in my prayer closet, he turns his ear toward me, mm-hmm. and he listens to me through Jesus Christ his Son. Now the email goes on to say, I've always been told that God doesn't hear unbelievers' prayers. Well, that's pretty much what we were
talking about.
He doesn't hear them in that he will not respond like he does to his own children's prayer.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, there isn't a verse listed here, but I'll list one for them, John 9:31. Now we know God heareth not sinners, yet if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus
didn't
say that.
Is that literally hearing?
Yes. Jesus didn't say that. And John, the beloved apostle who wrote that gospel, didn't say that.
Hmm.
It was the blind man who had been healed who said that.
Yeah.
They asked the blind man, they said, well, how do you know, who was this man? How did he heal you? He said, they said, well, he's a sinner. And he said, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But we know if God heareth not sinners. In other words, he's just stating a Jewish principle of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And yet a lot of churches have taken that and used that to discourage people from praying.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus didn't say that. The Apostle John didn't say that. This was in the context of a conversation with a man who had just been cured of blindness and a group of religious legalists who were trying to discredit Jesus Christ. Listen, James chapter 1 says, if any man lacks wisdom, watch this now, any man,
mm-hmm.
let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, James 1:5. If a man is lost, going straight to hell, and yet he begins to have a heart change and turn toward God and say, Lord, show me what you want me to do. Help me, Lord, forgive me. I've been a bad man. The Lord will work it out for that man. The first thing to do is get people's hearts broken. Listen, you can get a man in the water all day long, but if you get him in the water without a broken heart, you've just got him wet. That's all you've done. Water's important. It's water's the final stage.
Yeah.
But there has to be some things that take place before that.
Mm-hmm.
God's Spirit has to work in that heart, and that man has to turn his heart over to God. All right. That he only heard your prayers once you accept him as Lord and Savior. What does the Bible say about these things? Well, we've already answered that question. That's what the Bible, and the Bible has a lot to say about people who have iniquity in their heart. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. It's talking about a general way of life. People who live that way need not expect God to answer their prayers.
Yes.
So I'm driving down the road. I got drunk last night, been out with my sweetie. And not my wife, by the way, but with my sweetie driving down the road, having an accident. I've lived like the devil for all my life in a tragic car accident, and I call on the Lord.
Oh, now we're getting to some touchy.
Well, of course.
See,
I had no intention of going to church, had no intention of changing my life. As a matter of fact, I had every intention of meeting my sweetie again tonight.
Mm.
But I had a car wreck. About to die. My last breath, call on the Lord. Now, this is not going to go over well with you enablers out there. But the Bible says that God will laugh at a person who does that.
First chapter of Proverbs.
Absolutely. I will mock when your calamity comes. You live your life, all your life, for the devil, and expect God. You work all your life for this guy over here, and you expect the guy over on the other side to pay you at the end of the week? It doesn't work that way. Now, yeah, you can disagree, and we'll entertain your call. But the Bible, now somebody's going to say automatically we talk about the thief on the cross.
Yep.
The thief on the cross genuinely turned his life over to God. Well, he wasn't baptized. You preachers talk, Church of Christ preachers talk about that. First of all, I'm not a Church of Christ preacher.
Well, you preach at the Church of Christ. I'm a Church of Christ.
There's a name out front that says the Highland Church of Christ, but I'm not a Church of Christ preacher. I try to be a gospel preacher.
Amen.
And
Amen.
The Church of Christ is the designation that we worship under.
I think you tore that label off a few years back, didn't you?
Well, we did tear the legalist label off and Church of Christ preacher label off. And who knows, there may be other changes coming soon. But anyway, that's another sermon for another time.
Amen.
When a person lives for themselves, lives for the world, and just before they die, somebody said, "Well, the thief on the cross." Well, we don't know, but what he wasn't baptized.
Well,
we don't know that, Timotheus.
But Jesus was there with him.
There you go.
Jesus is not physically right here with us right now.
Are you telling me that because Jesus was alive, he could do what he wanted to?
He could do what he wanted to do.
Are you telling me then that when he died, that his last will and testament could not be changed?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, I just wanted to be sure about that.
We have given instructions from God himself. This is my opinion. We have been given instructions from God himself, many scripture, and we just talked about Proverbs, that what we are to do. It doesn't matter. I mean, it does matter what Jesus did.
Yeah.
But if he wanted to do things outside of that, something different than he was the Son of God.
Yeah.
So
do what he wants to.
Do what he wants to do.
However, Timotheus, now that he's gone and he's left us,
he's
as
left
a church,
instruction.
So I've got multiple Bibles laying open here, and probably 16 or 20 translations on this iPad.
Yeah.
No excuse for me not to read my Bible, is there? Anyway. No excuse for any of us not to read our Bibles, folks.
And by the way, I'm not disagreeing with you, but keep in mind, folks, we're not the judge and jury. We're just going by what the Bible instructs us.
Yeah, and you have to be careful to point that out.
We're the mailman.
That's exactly right. But you have to, if we're the mailman, then I'm going to tell you, you have to go by the rules of the United States Postal Service.
Amen.
And so, whether you do or whether you don't, you'll answer to them.
Yeah.
So whether you do or don't do what we're suggesting you do or don't do, you're not answering to us.
That's right.
On the judgment day, I'm not going to care a flip about you.
Oh.
I'm concerned about me on the judgment day.
Yeah, me too.
Right now, I'm concerned about you.
Yeah.
And that's why this program's on the air, Timotheus.
Amen.
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 So I hope we've answered that all right. If not, again, you can call me, friend, whoever this is, 367-0137. That's my personal cell phone number, the cellular device I carry in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
You can call me on that, and we'll talk further about it. You can call 789-0318 right now.
Yeah, amen.
Or email us. Well, he's already emailed us once, so you can email us again, I suppose. But I hope that answers the question. Now I'm going to the next one now. Here's the next one, Timotheus. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready. Bring it on.
Says, is there a sin that is not forgiven by God?
Mm.
Thank you. I love listening to the show. Well, I hope you do after this answer.
We hope that love is not
the love
turned into some hatred.
We appreciate you, brother. God
Amen.
Bless you for that.
Amen.
And is there a sin that is not forgiven by God? The only sin, according to the Bible, Timotheus and our emailer, and you folks out there in Radio Land, is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Now, blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is not adultery. Yeah. Blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is not murder. Those two are adultery and murder, respectfully, if it can be done respectfully.
True.
Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit today cannot be committed as it was in the days of Jesus. Jesus was casting out demons, Mark chapter 3, casting out demons by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. But they accused him of casting out spirits by Beelzebub, the devil.
Yep.
And they were blaspheming the very power with which Jesus was working.
Mm.
And Jesus said, you can't ever be forgiven of that, buddy.
Yeah.
Well, today, Jesus is not here working miracles. Yeah. Nobody else is casting out demons. Nobody else is raising the dead. I can't lay my hands on you, Timotheus, and heal you for whatever ailment you might have.
No, we're not saying that miracles doesn't happen today.
God can work.
Jesus is not doing it.
God can work any miracle he wants to. But he doesn't work miracles through men like he did in the first century. That's over. That's done. That's
Boy,
right. That's done.
You know, you cut down a lot of
Come
TV
on now,
shows
brother.
Right there. Brother.
Anyway, well, I'm sorry, but it's true.
Yeah.
They were a sign. That's all they were.
Yeah.
And there's different kinds of signs. Mm-hmm. And that's another sermon for another time. But it says, is there sin that won't be forgiven? How do we commit it today? By a continual, listen to me now, by a continual rejection of the Word of God. a continual rejection of the Bible. Here, I've got it right here. The old preacher says right here.
You got one of them.
Right here in my hand, the King James, the blessed King James Bible, King James Version. And this book is the revelation from God. It's the Holy Spirit's sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You reject this, and you have rejected the last message or messenger that will ever come. When you die, there is no second Word of God. There is no second chance.
Yeah.
This is the message. So in that light, you can, in fact, blaspheme or speak against this Bible. I've had men to do that. I remember one fellow years ago. He's dead and gone now. I hope he went to a good place. But I think he repented after he said this. But he told me, he said, "Preacher, I don't even believe that Bible."
Mm-hmm.
Especially the Old Testament. Don't believe a word of it. And I said to him, I said, "Did you hear that?" He said, "Hear what?" I said, I thought I heard the thunder. And I said, I don't want to be standing next to you. You talking like that. So I'm leaving now. Because God's liable to strike you dead, blaspheming the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
So anyway, you reject the Word of God. You've rejected the last message, the last revelation, the last inquiry as to how you can be saved. You can't inquire from anything else. There's nothing else, folks, to inquire from except the Word of God. You reject it, and you'll never be forgiven. I'll guarantee that. The Bible says so. Jesus said, "Except you believe that I am He, listen now, ye shall die in your sins."
Yeah.
So you reject Jesus, you die, you're dying in your sins, and you're going to a place that nobody really ever wants to go. Number three. I need a drum roll, Timotheus.
We need to get one.
You're going to have to get you do that. You're a highly trained broadcast professional.
You would think I would, wouldn't you?
Yeah. All right. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning,
Jerry and Tim, it says, who will reign with Christ during the millennial age?
Mm-hmm.
This question came from a discussion my associates and I had this past week. Thank you both. Have a great program today. Well, you're a part of the program today. And the Bible says that God's people will reign with Him, will rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years. You can read about that in Revelation 5-6. The 5, I believe, is the celebration in heaven of the church being raptured in chapter 4. And then we're told that that we'll live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years, that millennial reign of Christ, where He comes back and sets up a kingdom on the earth. Now, there's another subject that is not popular with some of our forbidding brethren, but I believe it to be true. Haven't always believed it, but I guess for 25 years I've believed that there will be a millennial reign upon the earth. Christ will come back.
It's in the Word.
It's in the Word. It's interpreted differently by different people, and that's all right. Yeah. Not a salvation issue. If you don't believe it, then that's up to you. It's brought me a lot of joy, a tremendous amount of joy in my life.
It gives you some insight.
Oh, it does. It does. It does.
Yeah.
So,
And may I say that...
You may say.
God bless people at work discussing
biblical
topics.
Yes. Yes, I love it.
So
I love it.
I just, that was one of the first things that struck me.
Yeah.
And I assumed that it was at work. That's what it sounded like. So wherever you are, that's a rare thing these days that... That people are around discussing those things, and you can disagree with each other respectfully, but the good thing is you're talking about it. It's on your heart.
Amen.
And it's in your mind, and you have your mind on those things.
Amen.
So I say God bless you for
Amen. That. Amen. 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 Well, we still got a little time for a telephone call tomorrow.
We can take a quick one.
Yeah, we can.
789-0318, 789-0318.
Not to exclude emails. We could take another email too, because we're live here.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, we're in real
time. But
we're
not going to be live forever. You know, the Bible says we're like a mist, like a vapor.
That's exactly right. Appeareth for a little while, and vanisheth away.
Then gone.
Yeah, we're gone. A shepherd's tent. That's what we're like, shepherd's tent. You know, he sets up tent for the night. True. Next morning, he's up gone.
Up gone.
And gone with the sheep.
Yeah.
We're like a hand.
A
hand breath. Well, we could go on with this, couldn't we?
We could.
You know, your hand's not very wide. That's about all you are.
Yeah.
Hands width, that's all you are.
Yeah.
All you are.
I used to call my son. I told him he was my speck. I called him speck. He said, "What do you call me speck for?" I said, "Well, you're my little speck on the face of the earth." He said, "Dad, don't call me that."
Bless his little heart.
Yeah. My little
He's not a little speck. He's a great big old boy.
Very proud of my children.
Well,
as you are as well.
Of course, we all are,
yeah.
And we want to live in such a way we can take them with us when we get to heaven. And in that light, Little Light Academy.
Hey, you were talking about teaching them while they're young.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, now you go on a Facebook page and you can watch what's going on with the Little Light Academy.
Mercy, that they will officially change locations. We think now, officially on the 13th of March.
We're hoping so.
Yeah, in our new Family Life Center.
Yeah.
And we got two classes going now. I'll tell you what, it just does my heart good to watch those little ones. They have such a good time.
Oh, they do.
And we invite you to call the church if you're interested in enrolling your child ages 3 to 5.
Yep.
You call the church and you'll get all the information you need.
And come by, maybe schedule a tour and take a look.
Yeah, yes, sir.
You know, at the facility.
Yes, sir. Love for folks. Yeah. We're coming right down to the wire. I got final inspections and we're getting everything in order now. So, stay tuned.
Yeah.
More to come.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
There you go.
I believe Batman used to say that. Anyway, thank you. Thank you for joining us for another edition of God's Point of View. We'd love to invite you to services at the Highland Church. Of course, Sunday school gets underway at 9:30 a.m. for Sunday school, 10:30 a.m. for Sunday morning worship, 6 p.m. Is our life groups at Highland Church. And then Wednesday evening at 7 p.m., we have services again, our prayer service, again, Wednesday at 7. And then, of course, Looking to Jesus, Sunday morning at 7 a.m. right here at WSIP. And again, thanks for joining us today for another edition of God's Point of View.